Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
All right.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, June is almost upon us.
Yes, indeed.
Summertime is coming, and it's about the time that love sets in, I guess.
Spring, actually, spring, right?
Yeah, no,
springtime in Paris, right?
Exactly. Summertime in Texas here. But anyway, well, this week, folks, we have a marvelous guest on the show. We have Debbie Forth with us. She is based currently out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she is the love architect, and she works with individuals, but also applies her craft to C-suite and to business and corporate environments. So, Debbie, welcome to the show.
We're so happy to have you, Debbie.
Well, hi, y'all.
Love the accent.
That's right. Sitting here in Dallas, Texas, I'm excited. I'm just honored to be a part of this opportunity to speak to your base.
Thank you.
Well, Debbie, if you can kind of walk us through a little bit about what got you in your line of work, and then kind of tell our listeners more about what you do and how you do it from there.
Sure. I think the thing that I really run into is when I tell people I'm a love coach, they automatically go, "Oh, life coach." And I'm like, no, just love. My focus is only on love. So that's why I changed the branding or the name to Love Architect. Because when I say
love
architect, then it becomes something different. It doesn't, typically they don't make the mistake of saying, "Oh, well, you're a life coach." Because no, I just focus on love, because that's where my story came from. I believe that we all kind of find our purpose within our pain. If anybody's a coach, a mentor listening in, it's within our own story that will unlock someone else's prison door, if we're obviously vulnerable enough to get up there and tell our own shit, so to speak. So I got started, I guess, 20 years I've managed automobile dealerships. I was a very successful female in the industry and believed in leading by integrity, and just was really loving it, chasing the dream, chasing the money. And, coming from that industry, what I watched was, managing 100 guys in a male-dominated industry, they would always come in trying to figure out where their wife is for the day, what kind of money they were spending, who they were going to meet, what girlfriends they had coming in. It was just a revolving door of unhealthy relationships. And myself included. I mean, I was the little girl who went through, 17 years of sexual abuse. And from that, I cycled from every train wreck relationship you could find, from being beaten to thrown out of second story windows and guns put to my head. So as successful as I was in business, my personal life was always in the toilet. So after 20 years of managing car dealerships, I found this energy or this calling in my life to say, okay, there's something wrong here, and it's going to have to start with me. So when I finally discovered personal development, I used to think that meant, let me give you the name of the other person you need to go fix, because I was perfect. I could take care of myself. I had money in the bank. I had a great career. But it took me a long way to realize that it had to start with me. So the part of my life that was broken was the love part. So the chasing the love and the cycling, having limited beliefs. So I started working with, I moved to LA, I walked away from every financial freedom I'd ever known to, just kind of follow my path and what my heart was. And I started working with some of the top coaches in the world, from Lisa Nichols to Bob Proctor, Marianne Williamson, Tony Robbins, just really wanted to be a student of it, because I knew if I was getting this amazing calling on my life, I wanted to be ready and prepared. Now, I went to pre-med in college, and I studied more to be a love architect than I ever thought about studying in college.
Interesting.
Because I guess it was just something that, something that really excited me. So,
well, you were passionate about it.
Yeah, I went to L.A. and drank the Kool-Aid for sure. I went out there and studied Kabbalah and numerology and astrology and just Judaism. And I wanted to just embrace everything because growing up in Texas, you just didn't really realize how diverse it was until you get somewhere different that has so much diversity out there. And I just wanted to embrace the beautiful people that came into my life and what they could bring, what they offered, and their healing energies and their spirits and how they touched my life. So what I really did was I started transforming my own life and started working with just individuals and couples. And, you know, I was like, okay, if I've done this and I've had these same issues and problems, all my friends were like, what are you doing different? And I started doing little workshops and coaching programs. And next thing you know, I'm speaking on stage in front of 200 people. And then I ended up being the love coach for the sororities at UCLA. And when I was out in LA, now being in the auto industry, I had, had a group, six rooftop dealership called me up and said, hey, we want you to come in and retrain our management staff. So I was like, okay. So I went in to do that. And in doing that, what I realized was my 20 years of knowing that industry and being in sales and coaching, development, training in that sales field, I could apply also the what I had learned from being a love coach and kind of the process and the procedures I started putting in place for myself. So I started doing this in this six rooftop dealership out in LA. And so I've got, you know, six to 10 managers that I was coaching in the finance office. And I started working with them and diving into their lives and helping them understand what the meaning of love was for them and how we could really script it and use that part of their sales scripts and just really try to transform their life. Next thing you know, guys, their wives were calling me going, oh my God, I don't know what you've done, but thank you. My husband's such an amazing man. Yeah.
Good for you.
And
good for you.
Their profit margins went up. The owner, you know, kept me around for 6 months and we worked on all six of their stores and ended up doing majority of their, the whole staff there in place. And it was, so then I, from that point, it kind of was my aha moment. Well, you know, I can work with individuals and couples, but there's a thing here around love in the business place. So that's why I realized that love is actually the number one motivator in the world, not money.
That's wonderful. And I would agree with that. You know, it's interesting how you're ending your previous work experience and, you know, career experience. I think I just have this one burning question that keeps popping in my head. When you left the industry, when you sort of, I call it jumped off the cliff and came out to California, what was prompting that? What was going on in your life? What were you thinking? Because, I mean, a lot of people reach this point in their life where they're, you know, there's, you know, an intersection, they're going to go left or right. And I was just curious as to what prompted that leap of faith and change in your life.
Well, I mean, and again, I think every person that's probably on your call right now listening has hit rock bottom. And I was to the point where I had hit rock bottom so much it was comfortable. And it became numb and cycling from relationship to relationship and really just blaming the other person for not being good enough or not being where I needed them to be. And I think the biggest aha moment that I had was when I actually ran into my first love coach and she said, you know, and I was like, hey, you need to fix my partner. Mm-hmm, and here's what's wrong with my partner. And she said to me, Debbie, she said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you want and need? I'm like, oh, I don't need anything. I got, you know, a couple cars. I got a house. I got money in the bank. I got a company. I'm perfect. I know how to cook. I know how to clean. I don't need you to do anything for me. I am Miss Independent. And that's when she looked at me and she said, well, no wonder you can't find love because you don't even know what it is to love and you don't even know how to receive love and you don't even know what you want and need from a relationship. And that was kind of my, oh, wow. So she said, I'm going to work with you. And she, my Oprah aha moment. And when she said, Debbie, I'm going to work with you. I was like, okay. And she's like, but I will still work with your partner, your beloved, the person you think is your soulmate. And when I started working with me and really understanding I did have wants and needs and I did have things that I needed from a partner on a beautiful level that I, even though I could supply everything for myself, it was a great space to know that when that person walks in the door, what I want them to do with me, how do I want them to wake up in the morning, how do I want them to argue with me, all that stuff kind of broke down into my life. And I realized that when I can hold the scroll up of what I actually want and need in a relationship, if it doesn't match the person I think is my partner, then I'm beating my head against the wall, which is what I had been doing my whole life. So I had to look back on all my relationships and kind of go, okay, I can't expect anyone to know how to love me if I don't even know how to love myself. You know, there's got to be a level of grace there. I mean, they've known me for a year or 2 years. How the hell are they going to figure this out?
Right.
So that was kind of my aha moment. And I was in that time period, I was just, you know, and to be as transparent as I can, before I got to my love coach, I was in so much pain from heartbreak and coming out of a relationship and it being very social and people, you know, all up in your business and in your life. And, you know, people saying, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Well, in Texas, you know, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to pray for you in Texas. That means I'm going to gossip about you and talk about you. And it was you know, a pretty public breakup.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. So they lifted me up, all right, on social media, and it was very humbling experience. I found myself just crying out to God, saying, "You know, I don't have purpose. I don't have love. I don't have family. I'm tired of chasing money. I just wanted the pain to end." So, in complete transparency, I took a handful of pain pills and a bottle of red wine and climbed in the tub, and that's all I remember.
Mm.
Now, the beautiful part of that story, and to make a long story short, God woke this woman up and came over to my house because I had a little door code on my door. And she said, middle of the night, it was 11:30 at night. She drove 20 minutes to get there, knocks on my door, and I had two puppies. And everybody who knows me, if my dogs are out of the kennel, then I'm at home. If I'm not at home, they're in a kennel. So she knocked on the door, said the dogs are scratching the door. She came in, and you know what it says? When God sends you an angel, he sent me a nurse of 30 years. 30 years. What, she nursed me back to health.
What prompted her to come over that night? Do you know?
Yeah, I talked to her. She said, "Debbie, I had this gut feeling woke me up, and God spoke to me." She said she called. Right. She said she called first, and when she called, she said she didn't get an answer, but she tried to go back to sleep and couldn't.
She knew.
You know, that's one of those things.
Intuitively.
Yeah, she knew.
Yeah.
One of those
mm-hmm.
things. When I hit the floor on my knees, and so when I, after 30 days of really getting myself back together and realizing, okay, if God's going to spare my life, there's got to be a purpose in it.
Yes.
And
indeed.
That was my aha moment is, okay, there's a purpose to my story, and there's a purpose to my pain, and there's a purpose to my journey, just like we all have it. And so I had to I had to uncover me first. And it was probably the most difficult journey of my life to go into isolation and really focus and hold that mirror up to myself. And now it's something I just do on a daily basis. Now, if someone's in an argument with me, it's like, okay, what did I do? What was the lesson in this? How can I not do it again? I'm just a fast moving train now. And it's just, I'm addicted to it. It's just like, I love, love, love becoming the better version of myself every day.
That's
so
nice.
It's just a gift, a calling, a desire to really serve so that people don't have to go through the same things I did. Don't make the same mistakes. Because, I mean, if you ever really heard me speak or on stage or really get to tell my story, it's like people will laugh because it's like, oh, yeah, I see that hole. Let me just go fall right back in it over and over again and get back up and see that hole again. And it's quite comical, but now at least I can see the hole and take different strategies around it. And I develop systems and tools, and I get to use those with individuals. You know, I've moved in with couples who are going to get divorced. I work with them. I've mentored, you know, hundreds of kids around the United States. I've worked with real estate agencies. I've worked with a lot of car dealerships because it's just that environment is so damaged and broken because, unfortunately, it's such a toxic industry. And, you know, I was very blessed to have some really good mentors growing up. But I'm just so honored. I feel like, you know, my path and my purpose and my journey is wherever God needs me to go. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have this agreement with God. Don't send me any place cold because I don't do cold.
I don't like cold either. That's funny. So let me ask you, when you had this experience and your friend was divinely inspired, you know, to come over, did you jump out of your corporate position, your jobs, and leave? I mean, what, how long of a period did it take you to process through making the move?
So I owned a marketing advertising firm here in Dallas that was centered around the automotive industry, and it was an automotive publication. And I was just, I was miserable. I mean, I was waking up every day going through the motions, and, you know, I had, you know, a sales team, a creative and design team. We did, I used to do print every week, then it became monthly. The distribution was there. It was just, you know, it was a grind 7 days a week. And I was miserable, just miserable, because I think once someone finds what their purpose is,
yes,
you just you it's so hard.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it
to go back. And when I and since I walked away, I mean, I'll be honest. When I walked away from my career 4 years ago, to focus on this journey and this path, I mean, it did not come without a lot of trials and struggles and being financially depleted. And I mean, sleeping on people's couches, you know, I call myself, I've been the artist of my craft, because it's just, you know, I've done, like when you go to LA and you work in the movie industry, you hear the story of their rise, but you don't really hear how hard it was for them to get there. And,
right.
And I think for me, it's really, I knew I had this calling and I knew I had this huge desire to serve and help others. But I knew I needed to be ready, and that was going to take a lot of time and energy and doing the work myself. And with that, it's, you know, I had dealerships that offered me, you know, jobs to, you know, $20,000 a month to come run a Porsche store. And I would leave there, guys. I would pull over on the side of the road and I would throw up. I didn't have a pot to piss in, but the thought of me having to go back and do that instead of living in my purpose.
Yes.
Was what kept me going.
I love it. You're an inspiration to so many people that have to have, maybe they haven't even, it hasn't happened to them yet, but it will.
Well, you know, what's funny is that, you know, when you talk to coaches and have people come up to me, oh, I want to be a coach. And I'm like, okay, so you do understand that it's not a very financially resource. It's not a really good resource for you if you got to be doing it because you really, it's your passion, you want to really be a service. Because I think there's not a person listening right now that is a coach or a mentor that has not gone through a financial struggle, because I think the fact of, and the hardest thing I had to do is to learn how do I tie in my 20 years of, you know, automotive industry and sales and training, and how do I tie in with my passion, but then how do I monetize it? And I think for anybody who wants to get in the field of serving, it's really making sure you are willing to go through the hard times, because if you don't have that passion inside of you and that burning inside of you, you're going to, it's tough. It is such a tough thing to do, but to figure out how to monetize it was really my biggest challenge over the last 4 years. And I've been really blessed and honored and humbled lately to just have partnered with a company called C-Suite Networks. And they're huge on distribution, and I've got a few books in the works, and my tools and techniques that I have been using in the working with individuals and couples and now companies, I'm putting that I'm taking it from CD platform, and now I'm putting it into a book, and so I'll be able to use
nice.
The distribution network.
Well, speaking of techniques, kind of walk us through what you do. You talked about some of the ways that you get to know your clients and assess who's poured into them. And so talk a little bit about your techniques with your clients.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I learned the hard way. I thought, you know, when I started this out and started working with people, you know, they were kind of just brought to me, because the more you talk about love, I mean, there's this really cool energy to it. People are either, I mean, they've all been through it. They've either been loved, they've been beaten, they've had a heartbreak. They're, you know, 70% of the United States is going through a heartbreak or a divorce right now. So everyone has this connection to love, and we all chase it. We want a human connection. We want to feel it. We want to be a part of it, and it exists in us. But what I realized is like, okay, well, you want to work with me as a love coach. Great, let's get going. And then I would get going, and then like, 2 or 3 days later or a week later, they disappear. I learned the hard way that not everyone is ready to do the work.
Right.
So the first
exactly.
thing I learned to implement The first thing I learned to implement was a really good consultation call to focus. I only work with people for a 6-week time period because I give them the tools and techniques in 6 weeks to transform their life around love. And the work is not easy, and I hold them accountable. I'm in their face on a daily basis. They have to send me their responses and their homework. So when I talk to them, the first thing I do on that consultation call is figure out where they are. And I don't want to be that person that they've already worn out their family and friends.
Right. You want them to be ready.
That is not me.
Right.
Yep. So I want to be ready.
No, I'm all about that. Coaching's a lot about that. You know, you're vetting them out because you want the people that are ready to change, that want the forward movement.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
See, I burned myself out in the beginning. I just, let me help everybody. And it just doesn't work that way because not everybody's ready. And I had to give myself, I guess, a little grace and forgiveness on that because I had to realize everyone will grow in their own time.
That's right.
And I had to grow in my own time. It took me till my 40s, but I had to learn that. So, you know, after I learned really on that consultation call to really vet them and to figure out, are they ready to do the work? Then I put in, you know, the strategies of what I call my Ready for Love course, because no matter if they're in corporate America or a business executive or an individual or they're in a relationship, if they don't know how they need to be loved, and what I call their LPS, their love placement system within themselves, then they're going to always beat themselves against the wall. They're going to always not have healthy relationships. They're going to struggle, and it doesn't have to be that hard. Because if you're in corporate America, it's just like I break it down for them. If you're in a corporate world, what did you do to get that job? You studied it. You became a student of it. You learned the product. You win. You either went to school, you went to college for a long period of time. You put in the effort and the work to really dive in to understand what it is around that ideology or that philosophy of that corporation. It's the same thing with love. You have a philosophy around love, and I call it a love placement system. So the first thing I do is I help them define what that love placement system is, what that belief system is, how they get clear on it, and what does it cost them in that time period and how they've grown up to have taken on negative belief systems from other people, maybe the family, maybe your spirituality. You know, most of us have carried this belief system within ourselves that's not even our own. So I really help them develop their own love placement system, where they want to be around love, what does love mean for them based on how they've been hurt, how they've been loved in the past, what works for them. And that's really, you know, when I define that, it kind of becomes their aha moment to go, wow, okay, now I see this is who I am. And once you start to understand who you are, it's a lot easier for them to look at their partners, their wives, their children. Okay, well, these people have this different wounds and different things that have affected them. So I can have a little grace on them too, a little extra forgiveness. I can be more compassionate to the things that they've gone through in their life. So from that stage, I'll take them into what I call my level two, which is getting ready for love. And they have to be, in order to do that, they have to be at peace with the mistakes that they made in the past. I had to be at peace with where I was, and peace that I co-created, you know, the things that I did in my past, that I had to look at all my relationships, even though I had been beaten, thrown out of second story windows and guns put to my head. You know, I had to look at myself and go, why did I stay? What was it? What was I not getting from the relationship? What was I getting? Where did I fail myself in it? So getting them ready for love is, you know, actually teaching them to be at peace with where they are around the mistakes that they've made, and find out why they have a belief system of how they love, and kind of expose the lies around that. And then you got, once you kind of open them up a little bit, then you kind of teach them, okay, it's okay to forgive yourself, and it's okay now to dream. You know, what do you now want that to look like? So then I take them through what I call an assessment of love. And the reason I don't do that in the beginning is because I want to build their trust first. Because when someone holds that mirror up and they take my assessment, I want them to be open and honest and feel that they have a safe place. And so I walk them through that it's okay to be where you are. It's okay to understand that sometimes your love placement system came from other people. And so it gives them that certainty and that safety, so that when they're ready to take then my assessment test, they'll be more open and more transparent and more vulnerable, so that I can see now is the starting point. This is not where they're going, but this is my starting point of where I can get them to where they are. Then I get to take them into the reframing, and I get to reframe their story And that's the beautiful part of, you know, how do I give them another chance, the tools that to teach them not to keep score on the mistakes that they've made, how not to keep score on what they're doing in the future, that they get to fail forward. And the key to it is keep getting back up and keep pouring into yourself and keep reframing the life that you want. Because, you know, we've got, you know, most of us, like myself, had 40 years of negative mind chatter, negative beliefs, and negative behavior. It's going to take more than a couple of days to reframe that story.
For sure, for sure.
So, you know, it's I run through a six-week program. I teach them, and holding themselves accountable. I have to teach them how to hold themselves accountable after we reframe the story. How do you balance that out through the self-care, you know, and my number one thing is we can all write this down. We can write down the journey of where we want to be, the beautiful love life we want to have, how we get there. We can understand where we are now. But unless you're willing to be in action and do the work, you're going nowhere. You're just going to sit stuck on that couch eating a bag of Cheetos. And, you know, so you got to recognize that you got to schedule it. You got to be in action. And the only person that can do it is yourself. You can't look at your partner to do it for you. You can't look at your husband, your wife to do it for you. You can't look at, you know, your pastor to do it for you. You got to get up and do the work yourself. And most of the time people won't do it because they don't feel worthy of their own self-love. So they'll say, well, I want to wait for that partner to come into my life. Then I'll change. My favorite story really quick is I always tell people, so what you're telling me is if I told you in 30 days that FedEx was going to bring you the perfect mate, your perfect beloved, I want you to go write down who he or she is. I mean, dive in. How do you want them to, what do you want to do with their toothbrush in the morning? Do you care that they wipe off the countertop? What do you care they do with their dirty socks? How do you want them to argue with you? How do you want them to communicate with you? Do you care that they have a voice? What do you want them to do with the remote control? Really write down from the time in the morning to the time ago you go to bed at night, what type of partner do you want in your life that would be perfect? And then I'm going to have FedEx deliver that person to you in 30 days. Now, how do you want their physical specimen to be? Do you want to be a rock star body? I mean, really go big, right? And then so they write these lists. And then I look at them, I go, okay, now, everything you got on that list, here's how you get it. I need you to become it. They're like, wait a minute.
That's beautiful.
So you're telling me in order for me to manifest or get the beloved of my life, I got to be everything that I need? I'm like, hell yes. Absolutely. Because we can't be sitting on the couch eating a bag of Cheetos saying, okay, God, universe, whatever your higher power is, I'm ready for you to deliver me my partner. And then after that person gets here with that rock star body, that beautiful hair, whatever you want, then I'll go to the gym. Then I'll be ready. Then I'll change. Then I'll work on me. Then I'll learn how to apologize. You can't do that. That person you want to be your best, you better be at your best for them too. Because they've been on that journey. They've been on the journey to be their best. So that's my favorite story around, you know, how do you be ready for love is you got to make sure who you want as your partner, you got to become it first. And then they will show up. But defining what you want and need in a relationship also helps you recognize that person that comes into your life, you can recognize they're either it and they're on that list of those wants and needs. Now, that list can be flexible, but it's on the list of wants and needs that you have. But you don't waste time, energy, and money getting in relationships you shouldn't be in the first place.
Yeah.
Because most people, I mean, let's be honest, most people get in relationships because, he or she, they're attractive, they're cute, we got a little chemistry. Let's go do life together. No, it's a lot deeper than that.
I love what you're saying. You're fabulous. I just wanted to ask you, what about somebody who's been in a long-term relationship or a long-term marriage or whatever? Do you have them do the same process?
I do because, and here's the thing is, I worked with a couple in Texas that had been high school sweethearts and married for years, had a relationship. They had a kid in middle school and high school. And he was like, man, my wife, all she does is spend money. You know, she's in the philanthropy. She does all these, got to do this, got to do this, and takes care of the kids. And all I do is go to work and make the money for her to spend. Mm. So he had a lot of animosity and a lot of anger. And she, you know, was like, when I meet with her one-on-one, she's like, I can't make my husband happy. I'm not getting what I want and need from a relationship. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And so when I dive in and understand what it is they want, need, and understand how she was loved, like her love language was physical touch. Well, his love language was, you know, acts of service. Because his love placement system in his past was, my parents and my father were very successful. They were business owners. So they taught me, if I provide for my family, that's how I show love.
Right.
But how she needed to be loved was, just touch me, love me, hold me. I don't care what you buy me. I'm not looking for the safety and security. I'm looking for someone to wrap their arms around me, tell me it's going to be okay. So diving into their life and helping them understand really what she needed from a relationship, and then teaching her, this is how he thought he was loving you. Now, again, it wasn't giving you what you need, but based on his belief system and his love placement system that had been you know, put into him, he was giving the best he knew how to give. So being able to balance that out, going through the same system that I teach, whether you're single or in a couple, helps them understand, first of all, who they are, why they love the way that they do, and how they need to be loved from a partner. Then if I can take that and hold those two scrolls, I call them the cliff notes of each other, right? If I can give you the cliff notes of your wife and the cliff notes of your husband, and you guys can look at each other and say, you know what, I can love her and I can love him that way without changing who I am. I'm willing to grow with you as a partner, but I can't change who I am. Then they got a fighting chance. They got a fighting chance to grow together. So most relationships, they're not meant to last. They are just meant to grow you up. And those are the things we have to really recognize. Where are we now in our relationship? Whether if you were married 20 years ago, you're not the same person. You've got different strengths, different weaknesses. You got to love them at their worst. And then can you help them grow beyond it? Can you love them through it? Love them through their pain. Kiss them at their deepest wounds, and then have them be the same for you.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, if you're in a long-term relationship, it's like pull the rug out from underneath it. You know, the cycles you go through in a long-term relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so as a love architect, I'm like, okay, the foundation of everybody is different because there's not one science. So trust may be different for me than it is for you, because I may have been hurt or betrayed more around the word trust. You mm-hmm. may just trust everybody that comes into your life. So it's really also understanding everybody has a different foundation of how they need to be loved as well.
Right.
So whether it's, you know, accountability, boundaries, what does it mean for each person to have a boundary? So it's really, there's so much to love, because love is the number one motivator in the world. That's why we get up every day and go to work and work in these miserable jobs that we don't like or love. Because we want to provide, we want to drive nice cars, we want to live in great houses so that people will like us and love us. We post beautiful pictures on Facebook so we can get the likes, and social media is just taking, you know, the word love to a new level. It's crazy. But if I had to go back and do it all over again in my life, I would absolutely make the same mistakes. I would go through the same struggle all over again, because now I know the people that I'm getting to serve and the lives that I'm getting to touch and help heal, I would go through everything all over again. Everything all over again.
That's good to hear.
That's great. Hey, you could talk about how you've applied your craft to, you talked about working with a car dealership for about 6 months. Kind of talk a little bit mm-hmm. about how you were able to do what you do at an organizational level.
Okay. So when I tapped into the car business, that was my first, you know, oh, well, I can apply this in business. And I took that same theory, and there's different ways I can apply it. Some companies bring me in and I actually speak, you know, on a stage, and it can be an hour, 2 hours, but then I'll use my story to give them their little tidbits and tools, and talk to them a little bit about, you know, what it means, how to have love languages, how do you reframe, how do you forgive yourself, how do you, you know, and I open them up on that way. Some corporations will bring me in to work with them where I speak, and then I go into small groups, especially on the sales side. What I have found in most of my corporate dealings is they believe in obviously employee retention, and they understand, like I do, that love being the number one motivator in the world, if you are going through a heartbreak or you're going through a divorce, if you're anything like me, I am pulling the covers over my head. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go be productive. And if I'm in sales, and sales is what the driver is for most of these companies, I'm not going to go and produce 100%. So if you look at a company and you say, okay, well, I've got 2,000 sales employees, and 70% of them are going through a heartbreak or a divorce, you could quickly bankrupt as a company.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to produce 100%. They're busy figuring out where their wife's spending money or who she's with, or what if I got to be careful, my girlfriend might show up here. What if my wife shows up here? And they're juggling too much. If they're single, they're not healthy in love because they're chasing the wrong relationships. So it's really understanding that first and foremost, if they're healthy in love, they're going to have more productive salespeople, more productive employees, and again, that's company retention, great employee retention. Their turnover's low, and they're going to fall in love with themselves, and in turn, they're going to be happier at work, happier in the workplace. So to circle back around to you, Bruce, in the corporations is, you know, coming in, I can bounce off into groups and work with sales teams. I've had companies that had me work with their sales teams. They were so happy with that. Then they would bring me in, because I believe even your receptionist is answering the phone. She needs to know how to love herself. She needs to know what she's looking for in relationships. If she's in a relationship, she needs to know how to argue through it. How do you fight fair? You know, those are the things, you know, based on the person that I'm working with. I love one-on-one. I'll do groups, but I love one-on-one because that's really where I can focus fully on transforming their life to such a level that they can go out and touch a million people with their life. And so whether it's groups, individuals, receptionists, I've worked with the homeless, but the corporations, you know, I can go in and work group, speak on stage. Even from that, it'll pan off. I've had companies that presidents will come in, and then I'll do such a great job, they'll actually have me work with their sons and daughters. I do some work with PTSD now. We all have a little PTSD of abandonment. I had it from being abandoned by my mother. So really, you know, it's one of those things where, When I go into a business, I have to assess, you know, what's their goal, what's their need, what do they really want? Are they wanting someone just to come in and do an inspirational speech? Because that's typically not me. I can come in and inspire you, but do you want your audience to be transformed? Well, that's really giving them the tools and the techniques and holding them accountable afterwards. And I think probably as most of us who are here are coaches, that's the difference between us and you know, I went to therapy growing up, but it didn't do anything for me. They were like, here's this book, go read. And I'm like, you don't know me because I don't read. I need tools. Fix me. Tell me what I need to do to fix me. And I could never get there. I couldn't get to that right person that said, here's what's wrong with you. Let's hold the mirror up. Let's go fix you. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll see you next week. And I can do that with a bottle of wine with my friends. Tell me how to fix me. And so I think for me, that was really what I wanted to do, is how can I use my journey and my struggles and my failures and turn them into gifts and lessons, and then make them into tools and techniques, and let me apply them to individuals, couples, and now companies. Now I'm onto something. Now I'm onto, you know, giving them quality of life, finding that balance, making their family life healthy, their life with their children healthy, and their business life more productive and more healthy, and being better employees and better leaders within their corporation, better people within their, you know, spiritual faith and their church. I mean, just making them a well-rounded, better human being, because they understand themselves more. And if they can love themselves, then they can love everybody else around them. We're harder on ourselves than we're harder on everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah, relationship is so foundational. If you're in a relationship, you know, good days and bad days can be predicated on, you know, how well the relationship's going. So I certainly know from my corporate experience, people drag that into the workplace every single day. You know, they really do.
Every single day.
The good days, the bad days, the good cycles, the bad cycles, you know, and we've all seen it if we've, you know, within our, you know, the people we work with. People go through a lot of stuff over love and relationships, and it really does affect performance.
Right. And I agree with that. And so as I had, you know, been kind of juggling through how do I monetize this, you know, but still being able to serve, still working with people who came to me, and I didn't, I didn't care, you know, what audience I was speaking to. I just knew I was supposed to be there for a reason, whether it was one person in the audience or 20 people or 200. Somebody needed to hear something I had to say. And so in my struggle of figuring out, okay, how do I take my purpose and my passion and unite it with my business acumen and what I had learned in the auto industry and figure out how to monetize it, I was just introduced to a company called the C-Suite Network. And having, I guess, for coaches and people like myself, it's like, okay, having a voice and having the tools and techniques are great, but if no one sees them or hears about them, then how am I supposed to touch as many lives as I can? So it was really, how do I find the right distribution for my voice and for the tools and techniques that I've put together for me? I understand it's not for everyone, but C-Suite Network, they were brought to my attention, I guess it was about a month ago. And Bruce, is it okay if I break this down real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So when I was, C-Suite is a private membership and it's vetted with the top elite C members, C-suite executives, CMOs, CFOs, CEOs of a 5 million net worth and up. And at first I was like, okay, how can I help these people? Because obviously that's way out of my comfort zone. I'm not a 5 million network girl. But I had to, you know, in talking to Jeffrey Hazlett, the president, and Lindsay Hazlett, the GM, they started talking to me about, you know, really pouring into me that I belong here, because they bought into my passion and my purpose and my story that love is the number one motivator. And whether they're an executive, whether they're a CFO or CMO, they struggled in their life. They've had a heartbreaker. They're in a marriage that's unhappy, or they want to be better. They want to be a better president for their corporation, or they want their people in their corporation to be better. So they provided me a distribution channel that I never could imagine. So their channel is done through, they've got the private network, and their network is, I think it's 500,000 people of CEOs and CMOs that I pour content to every day. So I've got a private site that I pour my content into, whether it's newsletters, videos, that's exclusive for their network, exclusive for their CEOs, their executives, their network of private membership. And then from there, they have what's called C-Suite TV. And their TV program is incredible. It is a business network, but it's right now, it's over, I think, 80 million views a month. And I'm like, okay, well, wow, that's something. And then they have their own C-Suite radio distribution, and they're right now at their 1 million a month. And they just partnered with a company called Captivate. And I don't know if you ever been to New York or Washington, and you go up and down the elevators and there's a TV screen in the elevator. Well, now their content is in those elevators. So now, as I'm producing my show, whether it's podcast or whether it's the TV show that I'm getting ready to do called Let's Talk About Love, I'll be in the elevators going up and down in these major business buildings. And then they have, they've got a really cool targeted audience of the business executives that have over the 5 million net worth. But then they just also partnered with called Reach Me TV. And they're now going to be in the top 50 airports in North America. So when you're sitting there waiting now for your airplane to come, whether to take you on vacation or take you on to your business trip, my content will be on there. And then they also took that Reach Me TV and went a step further. Now they'll be in 1 million luxury hotels. So in the North America, so that's Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton, the W. So I'm like, okay, I got this voice, I got these tools and techniques. And then all of a sudden now I've just been blessed to now partner with this company who has this amazing distribution channel. And I am the first ever love architect or love coach they've ever brought in, because most of their people are business. But they're starting to understand that, you know, personal development field in the business world is something that's actually needed as well. So, anybody that's, you know, out there looking for distribution channel, you can look them up, C-Suite Networks. They're out of New York, and their training is brilliant. Their distribution is brilliant. I just came out of a 2-day conference here in Dallas, and the tools that they even pour into you. They invest in you. And only thing you do is you provide them content, content, content. The more content you provide, the more push they will give you, because they've got all these executives ready for content. They need it. So, you know, I suggest anyone who is listening, or anybody who, you know, we have to help each other. I want to help someone rise, and I was just blessed to have this opportunity too. So if you're looking for a really good distribution network, and you've got some really good content and tools and techniques, look them up. Lindsay Heslett's the GM. She's amazing. And I think I already told Bruce about it, because I said, Bruce, you got to get on this network. It's pretty killer. I don't make any money. This is just from my personal experience. I don't get paid for helping people be a part of it. I just want us all to rise together.
Nice.
And I know that was my challenge. My challenge is, how do I monetize my gift? How do I make money so I can keep serving? Because the more money I make, the more I can pour into other people.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's really interesting. That's a very interesting platform. Sounds like you're involved in, and various modes of reaching potential customers and consumers and such. So it sounds like you really got into a good thing. You're one of the first 100. You're one of the charter members of that, advisors, right? Of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of that organization.
Yeah, and the first ever love coach.
And the first ever love coach / architect.
That's right.
So I'm trying to think of a title for me. I don't think there's one for pain in the ass, so I don't want to brand myself.
I'm sure Cindy and I can think of something really.
That's not that together.
Good luck with that. It's not that, but yeah, that's really good, because if you think about it, we are relationally based. I mean, we're spiritual beings as people, but many of us are also relational people. We have relationships, whether it be significant others, family, etc. So, and we bring that. We bring who we are. You know, it's part of us, right? That's who we are in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It's who we are in a social situation, and. That is a very core component of who we are. We can't overlook that or underplay that. So I'm glad that what you're doing is
it's helping.
Helping in different aspects. So we got about 3.5 more minutes. So is there anything else, Debbie, what you'd like to share with our listeners and about what you do and how you do it?
You know, I'm on like a high right now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or tell, you know, it's just, I want to tell everybody who's listening, whether they're coaching or mentoring or if they're willing to share their story, because if you're talking to just a person across the table from you, don't give up. If you're struggling, whatever you're going through, if you're financially trying to figure out how to make your book dream come true, or how do you get a radio show? Don't give up, because what you're doing matters. It mattered to me, because if I didn't have those 20 coaches pouring into me to give me tools and techniques so that I could take and develop my own tools and techniques, I would still be this abandoned little girl, struggling, beating my head against the wall, cycling from one train wreck relationship to the next. So what we do as individuals matter. Our bank accounts may not show it 100% of the time, but the heart of the reward of who we are and how we take our gifts and our talents and pour into each other. So if you're listening and you're going through sleeping on somebody's couch or a blow up mattress, I've been there. If you're driving for Uber, if you're working 2 or 3 jobs, if you're struggling wherever you're doing, and you're trying to break into your market or your niche, don't give up, because what you're doing matters to people. It matters to me. It matters to each other. Reach out to me if there's anything I can do. I'm getting ready to launch my podcast show and then my C-Suite TV Let's Talk About Love show. If I can help nurture you and give you a voice, I will be happy to use my time with C-Suite and share my audience with you. If there's anything I can do to anybody listening, don't hesitate to reach out, because together we can change the world, and that's just with loving each other.
That's fabulous. I'm just shaking my head up and down the whole time you're talking, Debbie. I'm like, yeah.
Just preach it, huh?
I love it.
Yeah.
Good for you. Just good for you.
I'm going to take you to church.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a new world. I mean, this coaching world is a new world, but it's one of those situations where I've just been so, I mean, just people who are just helped me along the way, from friends to family, and now these new coaches are coming to my life. I mean, we are unique individuals to be able to open up our heart and live our life completely vulnerable and to be out there on the cusp for people to throw daggers at us, and it's not easy. So just, you know, for every one of us, I'm just proud. I am so proud of who I am, who I've become, who I'm still becoming. I know that every person listening has to carry that mindset with them, and if they don't, they need to know they are loved, they are worthy, and the only thing they have to do is keep getting up. Keep getting up.
All right, then. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Debbie. And, boy, just a real pleasure. You have a lot of passion and zeal for what you do, and that's just great. Because that's what,
very
that's
inspirational.
Great.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Very, very
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
all right.
Wonderful. Thanks,
and Cindy. Cindy, next time I'm in LA, pretty soon we're gonna have some cocktails.
Let's go to Santa Monica.
Let's do it. Yeah. I'll be out there in 2 weeks.
Oh, call me.
Right, I will definitely. I appreciate you guys sharing your audience with me today.
Oh, you're so welcome.
All right, folks. Well, again, another great episode here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am available on conciergecoach.net. Follow me on Twitter at Cameron Coaches. Also, don't forget to follow the Concierge Coaches Show page on Facebook. Also, we are on iTunes and Google Play, and the shows are also podcast and streamed from the latalkradio.com site. Cindy, what's your contact information?
I can be reached at 714-943-6206, and my website is wisdomfoods.com and debbieforth.com. Anybody who wants to reach out. Debbie, is there anything other contact information you want to give us?
You can pretty much get everything on my website, debbieforth.com. My cell phone's
Fabulous.
On there. My email's on there. So I'm very open and transparent.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody. Well, we'll see you next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.